This is a History with God Ministries Godcast Network featuring Frank and Christina Sasso. Visit us online at ahistorywithgod.com for articles, links, prophetic words, prayer requests, and other awesome resources. Be sure to join our mailing list to receive your free daily devotion right in your email every morning. They are sure to comfort, inspire, teach, and even challenge you in your walk with the Lord. And now, let's join the host of this Godcast, Frank Sasso.
Hello, everybody. This is Frank. Welcome to part two of The Love of God with Christina Sasso.
If sin had never entered the world, God would never have had a serious thought. That's the God I serve. That's the God that saved me. God is a real being. He's real. He's not some cloudy guy up in, somewhere. He's real, and he loves you, and he wants to hang out with you, and he wants to have a good time, laugh. I'm bringing up these people for a reason, and I'll get to that in a second. Remember Abraham. And I just want to read something from an article that I wrote, just because it was already written, so I didn't have to rewrite it. Now, Paul in Romans 4 is talking about Abraham. Now, Romans 4:3 says, "For what does the scripture say? Adam believed in, trusted God, and it was credited to his account as righteousness, right living, and right standing with God." So Abraham was credited as being righteous. Now, why was that? Was it because he was a holy man? Because he kept every point of the law? Now, remember, Abraham's Old Testament, so he's under the law. No. As a matter of fact, Abraham was a man with many sins. For example, Leviticus 18:9 says, "You shall not have intercourse with or uncover the nakedness of your sister, the daughter of your father or of your mother, whether born at home or abroad. You should keep my statutes, my ordinance, and shall not commit any of these abominations near the native born nor any stranger who sojourns among you." Sarah was Abraham's wife and his half-sister. "But truly, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not of my mother, and she became my wife." So Abraham wasn't holy. He didn't keep every point of the law. He messed up. So did God shun him? Did he say, "I can't talk to you anymore, I can't fellowship with you anymore"? Did he correct him? Yes, he corrected him. And he still loved him. He still blessed him. He created the nation of Israel through him.
Amen.
And that's Old Testament. Isaac changed his name. David. He was the apple of his eye. He was a man after his own heart. Was David pure and holy and never messed up? So God doesn't turn his face away when you mess up. These are Old Testament people. Adam and Eve, Abraham, Isaac, David. There's many, many more in there. They're people. They're like us. They mess up. They, go the wrong way. They choose their own path. And God still loves them. God spoke to these men. He fellowshiped with them. He blessed them. And this is all under the old covenant. The blood of bulls and goats. So he still loved them. How much more us? How much more now with the blood of Jesus? Ooh. Wow. How much more? Like you can imagine, like, I don't know, those guys in heaven saying, "Wow, that's so..." Now they're under the new covenant. The new covenant too, but like, you imagine talking to them and saying, "Yeah, what was it like? You had to go and you had to sacrifice bulls and goats, and oh wow, we have it so easy now, right?" Thank God. Thank you, God. I couldn't do it. How much more? Romans 5:6-11. While we were yet in weakness, powerless to help ourselves, at the fitting time Christ died for, in behalf of, the ungodly. Now, it is an extraordinary thing for one to give his life, even for an upright man, though perhaps for a noble and lovable and generous benefactor, someone might even dare to die. But God shows and clearly proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for us. Christ, God, died for you, me. Died for us. God died for me. Therefore, since we are now justified, acquitted, made righteous, and brought into right relationship with God by Christ's blood, how much more certain is it that we shall be saved by him from the indignation and wrath of God? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, it is much more certain now that we are reconciled, that we shall be saved, daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrection life. Not only so, but we also rejoice and exultingly glory in God in his love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received and enjoy our reconciliation. How much more now? While we were still sinners, God loved us. How much more now that we are saved, we put our faith in Jesus? How much more does he love us? Now this kind of, I say, blew my mind. I picture God blowing the dust off my brain, okay? God loves the world. So right now, Jesus has already come and sacrificed. The whole world is already forgiven. The whole world is already forgiven. Everybody has been forgiven and redeemed. I mean, I can go back to John 3:16, the very beginning, what we first said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten unique Son. Right, the world. Romans 5:6-8. Did I put that one down here? I just read that to you. While we were yet in weakness, while we were powerless, while we were ungodly. Whoa, 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 whoa. You're saying I'm ungodly? I was. Weren't you? We were. God justified the ungodly. Well, it's not me. Yes, that was me. I was the ungodly. We all were. He already forgave and justified the world through Jesus. Everyone is forgiven. That, when I heard that, I'm like, yes, that's right. Everyone is forgiven. But not everyone is saved from hell. So everyone's forgiven, but it's not until they receive the gift and open the package and enjoy the package and believe in the package that Jesus forgave us. Until that time, then they're still blind and they're deceived and they're on their way to hell. So why am I bringing that topic up now? This is what the world needs to know. I believe. That's my mission. The world doesn't need to know that they're dirty sinners. The world does not need to know that God hates them. The world does not need to know that God is going to get them. The world already feels bad enough. The world already knows it's a mess. They're looking for answers. And you have the only answer. There's only one answer. The world already feels like garbage. And the world is trying to do everything in its power to feel better about itself. So how does the world do it? Oh, if I have more money, I'll feel good. If I have drugs, I'll feel good. If I have more sex, I'll feel good. If I have, you know, a nicer car or a bigger house, or then it's a mess. It's a mess. So what the world needs to know is God loves you. You're already forgiven. Just receive the free gift. I have a funny, I think it was one of the first times, I have two stories. One of them was the first time I think that I really started to have a revelation of how much God is love. And up until this point, I really, really hated people. I can say I didn't want to be around people. Ugh, people are annoying. They're just inconsiderate and cruel and everything. And my perfect place, what Frank would tell you, if I could have my dream house, it would be on 10,000 acres in Maine, and the house would be in the middle of them, so I know I'd never see another person, I don't have to deal with anybody, I just have a car, I go to get my groceries, and I'll have a wilderness ministry. Like, this was before I got saved, but then after I got saved, I said, well, I'll just have a wilderness ministry. What's a wilderness ministry? I don't know. You're out there preaching to the deer? I don't know. So, this is for me, a wilderness ministry. And then, you know, God so lovingly said, no. Chris, really? You're going to be in the middle of... But so, he didn't, and God knows every single person, and he created you and your DNA, so he knew how to speak to me, and he knew how he could turn my heart to love people, and I can honestly say I love people now. I love people, and I weep over people. So, first story, when God was like breaking my heart for people, is I was watching an Oprah Winfrey. This was years ago. We were still living in Queens. And there was this woman on with her husband. And I remember her name was Rachel. And she was, oh God, she was really not nice. And her husband was like this very, like they were on the show because I guess I think Dr. Phil might have been on it. I don't know. I don't remember. I just remember the story. But somebody was going to help her. She told him where to go, when to jump, how high. And he was like, yes, 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 yes. And you know how the audience gets all, oh, she's, oh, da, da, and I was like right there with them going, oh, this woman is, oh, boy, boy, boy. And I said, Lord, now I was already saved. I said, Lord, how do you love people? Because I know you love everybody, but really, this one is just, how do you love people? How can you? They're horrible. And he doesn't speak in an audible voice, but I know it was clear, and I know because I just started weeping over this woman. He said, because I know all the hurts in her heart. I know where she's been wounded. I know why she's like that. She wasn't made like that. She became like that. It totally changed how I look at people. Because I would always think about that. When I would have that thought, it's like, oh, this person is... I can't love... And then I would be like, no, there's something that happened to this person, and God loves this person. And please believe me, I don't get it right all the time, even to this day, but it always takes me up short to remember that's not how she was created or he was created. They became that way. There's hurts deep in there, and God loves them, and he can fix that. He can fix it.
Yes, amen.
So that's my job. I feel like, yeah, I'll tell them how good you are, and we can fix it. Actually, I was teaching a class the other night, and I forgot what I said. It was, was at the end, it's like a quiet class, it's stretching, flexibility, stuff like that. And I forgot what I said. And my friend Carol said something to me as I was teaching. She said, I always said, if you have any questions, come see me after class. And she said, well, you have all the answers, right? And I was like, that's right, I do. I do. I do have all the answers because I have the answer. And the second story was another time when God just wiped me out. Like, we had just moved to Trenton, and there was a neighbor two houses down. And anytime we'd be working on the house, she felt like she needed to come and tell us how, what we were doing, why we shouldn't be doing it, or what she was doing, and And I remember I was pulling up bricks in front of the house, and she came over, blah, 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 blah. I was like, oh, God, I hate her. I hate her. Just take her out of here. Lord, I'm praying her out of here. I'm praying her out of the neighborhood. So that's how I felt about her. So I'm sitting in the yard, I don't know how many days later. I'm just sitting there, and I hear her in the yard, her yard, two houses away, screaming, and I didn't even know what she was saying. And probably whatever, you know. Nothing great. And all of a sudden, it was, the only way I could describe it is as if there was a huge bucket of water being poured over me, but it wasn't water, it was love. And God was just pouring. I fell in love with this woman. I was like, oh my God, I love her. I was crying in the yard. I'm like, I hope nobody sees me. I just couldn't control it. Weeping, weeping, weeping over this woman. And Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I said I hate her. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I love her. I love her. Lord, give me a chance. Give me another chance. And I don't know if it was that day or very soon afterhood, she would always just come stomping into the yard. Like, we're from New York. You don't come into my yard without asking. You don't just pop in. We don't do the pop in, you know? And I know that's like a, you call first, all right? Is, can I come over? No, she would just plow right in. And she came in, and I'm like, oh, I'm like, thank you, Lord. This, I asked, give me another chance. And there she was, blah, 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 blah. And she said, come to my, I want to show you my house. I'm like, all right. Now, I don't know, I think you were in the house, working on the house, because we were restoring it at the time. So I just left. And like, I was gone an hour or so in her house. She was showing me from the top to the bottom. This is what I did in my house. This is what I did. She took me into the basement. She goes, oh, look, I have a housewarming present for you. And she gave me barbecue tools. And I was like, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving me another opportunity to love her. And Frank is like, I come back, he's like, where are you? I looked everywhere. You were in the yard. I'm asking people on the street, where'd you go? I was like, I was at Evelyn's house. Evelyn's house? Because you know how I felt about Evelyn. He goes, you were at Evelyn's house? I'm like, yes. I was at Evelyn's house. I love her. It's like, what happened? Oh my God. I told him what happened. And then, you know what? There was a reason, because I got to pray with her later on, years later. She was really suffering physically. And she came over. We were out in front of the house, and she just came over as she normally does. And she said, I don't know what to do. The doctor don't know what to do. They give me medicine. I keep falling down, and I've got all scratched up in the rose bushes. And I'm so sick, and I don't know what to do. And I said, can I pray for you? Oh, yes, yes. So I prayed. I said, you're healed. You know, God loves you. Fine. She goes, thank you very much. And she goes home. A couple days later, there's a message saying, Evelyn called. She's in the hospital. I'm like, oh, my Lord, I just prayed. What's going on? So I call her up. I'm like, what's she going to say? Is she going to yell at me? And she goes, Chris, guess what? You prayed for me, and they took me to the hospital that day. I'm like, this is good? She goes, it's good because that other doctor, he gave me all the wrong medicines and all the wrong amounts, and they finally took me shows if they hadn't come, I would have died that day. But they found that they had all given me the wrong medicines, and now they have me on the right medicines, and I feel good, and I feel great, and it's because you prayed. And I was like, thank you, Lord. If I had kept that hate in me, she would have died. I think that everything's connected, you know? Nothing. God saw that years down the road. And you know what? Maybe he would have used somebody else, but then I would have missed it. And I'm sure there are many times I do miss it, but I think I'm getting better at it, hopefully, right? But those stories are those stories that started to really crack open my heart to people. So now what I do is I do try and approach every problem I have with love. If I have a situation with somebody at work, I say, okay, what I want to do is fire off an email or, you know, tell everybody what that person did. I said, but what could I do to love them? And I just love them. And I would say 99% of the time, I really have to say, when I approach the situation like that, 99% of the time, it either disappears, that person disappears, or that person ends up being a friend. Like the person that just drives me nuts, I will say, hey, you want to come to the diner with us? I remember I did that once. Frank's like, why are you asking her to come to the diner? I said, because I don't know. I think we need to. No, maybe there's something, again, I go with that, maybe there's something that happened to her, and maybe she just needs a friend, and she's a friend then, see? God's love fixes everything. Love fixes everything. Love fixes it. I can say that 100% of the time, love fixes everything. God's love fixes everything. God's love solves every problem. God's love turns every situation around. Jesus fixes everything. See, you could take out love and put in God. You could take out God and put in Jesus, and it's all the same. Jesus fixes everything. Jesus solves every problem. Jesus turns every situation around. So when we go out into the world and we share, we have the solution to everybody's problem. Wow, we have the answer for everything. We have the answer for the economy. We have the answer for cancer. We have the answer for poverty. We have the answer for everything. It's love, God's love. It's Jesus. The world needs love. The world needs Jesus. That's my mission. That's what I want to do. And I really thank you for allowing me to come here and share this with you. And when we start to realize how much God loves us, then it's easy. It's not intimidating. Well, sometimes it's intimidating, but you know what? You do it anyway because, wow, God is so good. And he loves me so much. And he loves them out there. Those people lost and hurt and abandoned and searching. So we have the answer. We have the love to bring into every situation. I want to love him. I want to serve him. I want to be obedient. I want to be pure. I want to be holy because he loved me first when I was nothing, when I was ungodly, just like them out there. And I want to tell them that. So I don't know what time it is. I just feel like I need to just end it here. But I want to thank you for letting me do what I want to do. Thank you for letting me share with you. Amen.
Questions? You have them. Let's open up the mailbag in today's Godcast Q&A.
Do you
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Godcast Q&A.
Hello.
Let's jump right in here. I sent Terrence my testimony. Mm-hmm. Am I going to get to see it somewhere in print, online, where and when? Well, I know Terrence is working on the next issue of the magazine. As soon as we know, we will let you know. All right, Chris, this is for you. I like how Christina is holding a donut in this week's YouTube video, and yet makes no mention of it whatsoever. What's the point of the donut? Is there something I'm missing? Is it related to her message? What is the point? You're just holding that donut.
Because couldn't wait to take a bite out of it.
But why is it even in the video?
Well, because that was the day that we had gone down to Sewell, New Jersey, and it was early in the morning before church started, and we stopped at a great farmer's market that had been in that area.
You remember the name of it?
Yes, Duffield's. Duffield apostrophe S.
Duffield's.
Yes, it's family run. I don't remember the cross streets.
Duffield's is in Turnersville, New Jersey.
Right.
And you guys can look it up if you're nearby or whatever.
It's a farm store. It was family run for many, many years. Christian family, because they have tracks at the registers. And
that's right.
They make these homemade sugar donuts that were, we bought a bag of them and devoured them. With our coffee.
How many was he? Were even in the bag, do you remember?
I think we got a half dozen, because if we got a dozen, we would have ate all 12 of them. So they were really good. They were hot and they were fresh.
Right out of the oven.
The girl was just putting them in bags as we came in that morning.
Mm.
I highly recommend this little store. It's fresh vegetables and local foods and so on. And they also have, I think they have a you pick it part of the farm. I think they have animals. So I'm giving them a big promotion
here. Yeah,
really.
Duffield's.
Because I love the local farmers and I love local businesses and they are Christian. So if you're down there in Turnersville, New Jersey.
Google them.
Google them.
And then Duffield's can ask you, did you Google me?
Actually, they are on Yelp, too.
Oh, Yelp, that's right.
They are on Yelp, so you can Yelp them as well.
Yelp.com.
And they are really good, so check it out.
Mm.
And there was no purpose to me holding the donut, other than I wanted to eat it as quickly as I could.
Right. And we wanted to see if anybody would notice. Only kidding.
But I'm glad you asked.
So go support Duffield's. Hey, Duffield's. You hear that? Okay. HistoryWithGod.com. There's a donate button right on the homepage. Okay, I can... here's the next question. Why did Pastor Allen only do one podcast? That Got Fruit show is still my favorite. Please bring him back. We so miss him.
Yeah.
Okay, it wasn't like, you know, we made this agreement, he's like, I'm only going to do one podcast. And
it's
that
not
was,
like he's Elvis or anything,
yeah,
right?
It's not like Pastor Allen has left the building. Okay?
Right.
He didn't leave the building. He's still here.
We actually saw him a couple weeks ago at Starbucks. He's alive and well and doing great, happy, smiling. It's just, I guess...
Yeah, don't read into anything. He's coming back on the
yes,
podcast.
Yes, everyone gets busy sometimes, and it's hard to make connections, and it doesn't mean that the desire isn't there.
Right.
It's just that time, job, family sometimes gets in the way. But
yeah, that's right.
He will be back.
Coming back. Next question. I can totally see Christina being a biology teacher. She mentions it in the podcast. Was she saved when she was teaching? If so, how did she mix witnessing with school, especially teaching something like biology, which is science?
Okay.
How did you mix that?
I didn't, because at the time I was teaching. I was teaching before I got saved, and obviously I was teaching a little bit after I got saved. And at the time, it wasn't where I was witnessing to anybody, because I was kind of in a learning stage at that point. So I really wasn't witnessing to anybody.
Gotcha.
So it really wasn't an issue for me at that point. Because for me, at that point in my life, it was about learning, getting revelation, mm-hmm. finding out the truth. And I didn't even feel qualified to... Not that we have to be qualified, but I didn't feel qualified to witness to anybody. I barely knew anything myself.
Gotcha.
So it really wasn't an issue for me at that point. Mm. Although I did say to my friend Betty, when I found out the Lamb of God was Jesus, I was so excited, and I came back to school on that next Monday or whatever and say, I found out what the Lamb of God is. You know who it is? It's Jesus. And she was like, yeah, no kidding. Like, I never knew that. But anyway, so that's where I was.
Well, what would you say to the person who maybe is a science teacher or a biology teacher right now who's a Christian and finding it like a little difficult or challenging sharing her faith or his faith in that arena?
Well, I mean, when you're teaching, you're teaching. Okay, so you're teaching the subject matter. if there's an opening, I mean, let the Holy Spirit lead you. He's not going to steer you wrong. And at this point in my life, I wouldn't really care if anybody had a problem with me saying something. And also, I always taught in Catholic high schools, so it wasn't really, you know, the religion quote unquote part,
right,
wasn't an issue. But to be honest with you, right now, I wouldn't care if I was in a public school. I would say what I believe to be true, and if someone needed to hear it, I'd say it. And if I got fired, well, then so be it, because they're not my provider.
Amen.
And if I'm called to witness there and tell somebody the truth there, then I'm going to do it.
They're going
to
hear it.
I mean, but you know, you have to be ready and be in that place, count the cost, and then step out in faith.
Hope that answers your question. If not, email us back and ask it a different way. Okay.
That I can understand.
Next question. Lazarus the Lion. What a great idea. How can I get Lazarus the Lion to come to my church function in Mesa, Arizona?
Ooh, road trip.
Now, well, they actually said Arizona, which may be an Arizona thing. I don't know. Yeah. So, Arizona, whatever. How do we do that? Well, here's one way of doing it. Send us an email with all of your information, your contact information, address, phone number, email, that kind of stuff. And we will forward it over to Terrence, and he will get in touch with you.
I think it would be cool to take Lazarus the Lion on a road trip. Take him on the road. Mm. On the road with Lazarus the Lion.
Amen.
All 50 states. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I like that. Road trip, I say.
That sounds like a really cool idea. And the first stop is Starbucks.
in Oxford Valley.
Right. Pennsylvania. Next question. Terrence spoke with a lot of power. How did Frank keep so cool? How did I keep so cool? Look, Terrence is the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. I kept so cool because I was having a great time with him.
Maybe what they mean is because you're both so passionate.
Yeah.
Like, how did you just not...
Yeah, I don't know. This says Terrence spoke with a lot of power. How did Frank keep so cool in the sense of how did I keep so cool speaking with a lot of power?
I think it meant that how were you able to temper yourself and let Terrence talk without
jumping
in?
Because I am a seasoned professional. If you haven't noticed, we run a podcast.
Godcast.
I keep saying podcast. No, it was just, you know, the Holy Spirit held me back in a good way.
Let someone else talk.
Amen. Okay, I'm ready for the next Romans episode from Christina. I'm making a whole collection out of just those. When is the next Romans episode, Christina?
I will do that imminently.
Imminently?
Yes.
Okay, so put that in your calendar.
I'm going to make myself make a commitment that I will do the next one this week as far as recording it. Then it's all up to you, Frank.
Which means turn on the coffee. I just heard the What Are You Thinking podcast. I don't know how I missed that one. Keith is so funny. I want to hear his wife. When is that going to be? That's a good question.
We have a question for Teresa Axum. When, Teresa? When? Actually, we were talking about the topic. We both know what the topic is going to be, but we just need to get the time.
Can you say what the topic is going to be? Can you reveal that as a teaser?
It has to do with...
You're not going to say?
No.
It has to do with? That's what you're going to leave the listeners with? They know that much.
It has to do with obedience and the law.
Obedience and the law.
Mm.
I think I'm going to tune in for that one. I downloaded the book on the free day and had a question. In the book, it's mentioned that God is saying there's a false teaching that would have people think to have nice things is wrong. Then God says, life is simply this, to walk in your identities as sons and daughters of mine. So here's my question. If we're focused on getting nice things, how can we be walking as sons and daughters of the Most High God?
Well, let me just quote our dear friend Tim, what you focus on gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're focused on getting nice things, then that's what you're going to be focused on, and that's what's going to be the big issue in your life. Like, I need a new car, I want a bigger house, I want this, and I want that, because your focus will be on that. And that's not what God is saying. God wants you to focus on Him and on what Jesus did, and because of what He did, who you are, a son, a daughter, the righteousness of God. If you focus on that, then you'll get all the nice things God wants you to have. the new car, the nicer house, the clothes, the just the blessings, the nice blessings that make life enjoyable.
Yeah.
And God knows what you want. I know God put in my heart what I want.
Yes.
Which is, I want a horse. But if I spend all my day focused on getting a horse, then that will just become the obsession of my life.
Right, you're going to miss it.
Right. So what I do focus on is what God wants me to do, what God wants me to be, who I am already through what Jesus did, and the horse will come. And actually, right now, if I had a horse, I don't know where I'd put him, but I know he's coming.
Room. Maybe the living room.
Well, you know, if we got one of those little ones that we could put sneakers on.
Yeah. It would still have to be living room.
He could come in the house then. He'd be little.
Because he'd have sneakers on.
Well, and also he's little. He'd be like a little pet.
I don't know that he would be a little pet. He'd be a little horse, which is still big.
Right, but a little horse can be like a big dog.
Next question. Where the heck is Tim? I just spoke to Tim this morning, and I'm going to see him Monday evening, and I will ask him this question for you. Because, of course, Monday evening he'll be at Starbucks to answer your question, where the heck is he? That's where he will be. But he is coming on soon. I was actually thinking about Keith, Tim, and myself doing a podcast together.
Oh, that'd be fun.
That would be a lot of fun to do.
Well, if Keith comes on Monday, maybe you can just go sit in the car and do a podcast off the cuff. See what the Holy Spirit just, like, pops up with.
Those automobile podcasts are always fun.
It's a great sound studio.
It is. Okay, listen to this. First and foremost, Terrence has a beautiful voice. Secondly, he has to have his own podcast. I love Frank Christina, but Terrence has to be heard. He just got me so excited. Well, I'll tell you what there, Cupcake. Terrence is actually going to be doing his own podcast. So, ha-ha. We already are on it. But thank you. And I just called whoever this is Cupcake. What if it's a big dude?
Aww.
Maybe it's prophetic. Maybe his nickname is Cupcake.
Or maybe he likes Cupcake.
Or maybe it's a tiny little woman.
Yes. Or maybe it's a big burly woman.
A big burly woman?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. Could be a body
woman.
Whatever.
It doesn't matter.
Hey, we don't care. We still love you.
Maybe it's a little tiny man.
Okay, next question. Does anyone know how old Frank and Christina are? I know. I always ask myself that question, too. How old are we? Or how young are we?
Well, I always say that I remember saying this before I was saved. When I was 18, I would say, I'm going to look exactly like this when I'm 80 years old.
Mm. And sure enough.
Well, I'm not 80.
No. But you're not 18, and you certainly don't look 80, and you look more like 18 than 80.
Oh, thank you. I can freely say I am 53. I will be 54 in March.
Mm.
And Frank is...
I have no problem telling people that I'm 30. No
Frank
problem at all.
Was born on. I'll tell you, and then you can figure it out.
Wait! You don't have to tell my birthday.
Was born on April 21st, 1968.
That's how old I am. Next question. I really liked when Frank would do a topic like a teaching. He hasn't done one since April 20th. Oh, the day before my birthday.
Oh.
What's up with that? Is he just doing interviews now? No. If you heard it. What was it?
You know what I think?
Three podcasts ago, I did Pink Elephants. That wasn't an interview.
I know, but it wasn't you sitting and doing a teaching. It was you preaching a message. It's different.
Oh, okay.
I think that what's going to happen is that we should be doing podcasts every day.
Okay. I'm sorry. I don't have that level of faith yet. And I know you just said I agree. So, stop it right now. They just said, I agree.
No, they did.
I saw the video of the guy named Alan. I'm just glad he told him to go back to doing the podcast on a weekly basis, because right after that video appeared, the Godcast went back to every week. By the way, why do I feel like I'm the only one calling them Godcasts? You're right. I slip in that all the time. Just especially now. I keep calling them podcasts.
No, God.
Cast. Godcast. Yes, you know what? You're absolutely right. Godcast. But it wasn't because of Alan. Alan didn't, like, say...
He was part of it.
Well, all right.
Because we had other people requesting it. And most importantly...
You.
I wanted it. So So when I say we're probably going to be doing them every day, hang on.
Yeah. Hang on. Because here's the thing. She just said, we're going to probably be doing them every day, which means that means that it could be you recording them every day.
Well, here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that we have to do them every day, but there's a lot of people that now we have met and that we're involved with that I would love to hear. I would love to hear Sean Mohler do a podcast.
Oh,
I would
Sean.
Love to hear Pastor Phil do a podcast. I would yeah. love to hear Chris from South Philly Prayer Community. Shout out to South Philly Prayer Community.
South Philly!
We spent Monday evening there at yeah. their prayer service.
Last Monday.
And I'm telling you, that is an Acts church.
Oh, yeah.
It was so cool. The people were great. The leadership is great. It's just really, really doing great work down there in South Philly.
And the fellowship.
They are taking South Philly for the Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
And the fellowship after the meeting with Sean and George and Chris and Dana and John at the pizzeria was hilarity.
Yeah.
And it was great, great, great fellowship. Sean yelling out Jesus' name in the street like that at 11
yes.
o'clock at night.
It was very funny. We sat outside. We shared some food.
Yeah.
My favorite thing to do. Well, I want to go back because I just think that it was such a great experience for me.
Hey, man, that was good stuff. We're definitely going to go
really
back.
Really great people. Oh, and Sean does these great things in South Philly. He does these
Jesus Christ block
Jesus
parties.
Christ block parties. And the last one they had, they got how many people?
120.
120 people.
Salvation.
Said the salvation prayer. Mm. And they have a pool. They bring an inflatable pool. They do baptisms.
Right.
This is Jesus on the move.
Yeah,
right?
And also, and it's a lot of fun, too, for the kids, because Sean, in, with some of the block parties anyway, he has a what he calls a Jesus Christ water slide.
They have water slides. They do face paintings. They have food. And they just invite the community to come and enjoy
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and they come out and they love it.
And they were in Kensington.
Yes.
At the last one. And we want to join them at one of them. Next
well, time. I'm going to give a plug for Sean's website. It is onesteptothecross.com. So O-N-E, step to the cross. OneStepToTheCross.com. Check out his website, look at the videos, and you can see Sean, he's a burly guy. There's this one guy on there, his name is Jerry. He's a former Satan worshiper.
Hmm.
It's the second video under the video tab in the menus. And let me tell you, man, this guy was hardcore, like the real thing as far as a Satanist goes, and now he's totally serving the Lord. He's like hardcore, like no joke, man. This guy was like, whoa. When I saw that video, I was mm-hmm. freaking out. Look at this guy. And Sean is like a, well, you'll see him. He's wearing the suit. Very sharp guy, Sean.
Yes.
Love
him. And he has a book that he tells his story.
Called One Step to the Cross
One
and
Step
is finished.
To the Cross. He was hardcore stuff.
But yeah, he wasn't.
He's just as hardcore now for Jesus.
He's more hardcore now.
Yes, that's really. So I was very, very much blessed by that service and by meeting these people, and I just wanted to share that with you. So check them out. And if you live in South Philly, if you can get over to that ministry.
Yeah,
it's
just
really
just
great.
Google South Philly Prayer Community, Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Google that and it'll give you the address and all that stuff. All right? That is it for this month of questions.
Of August.
And come of August.
Coming
the
into
next, listen,
my one of my favorite times.
Fall.
Fall. Yeah!
The next Godcast Q&A will be the first Sunday in September, and it won't be as hot.
So until next time, we have some things coming up. I'll get on that Romans article.
We have some events that we're going to be planning with our board of directors.
Mm-hmm. So think about that. Pray for us. We'll be praying for you guys.
And just remember this. We love you. God loves you. And
Jesus is Lord.
Stay blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast from A History with God Ministries. This teaching is a powerful ministry tool that you can use to experience the power of God in your life. Thank you again for listening and for helping us reach the world with the love of Jesus. Sign up for your free daily devotion today at ahistorywithgod.com and click on Contact. Type in your name and email address and you'll be all set. A History with God Ministries. Seeing, hearing, remembering. Mark chapter 8, verse 18. Until next time, stay in the blessing.